Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592. Uh-oh. Is it that time of the week?
I love that music.
Yeah, me too. Is it time for Impromptu, Al? Al Morgani joining us for his Impromptu segment. What's up, Al?
Oh.
Hey, Hugh. What's up, Joe? I'm doing just great, except I have to hear Giglio. Can you do me a favor? Can you have Giglio shake his head? Just shake his head. I just want to see if we can hear the rocks over the radio.
All right, I'm doing it right now. Do you hear that?
No. They must be silent rocks. Yeah.
What you hear is a brain full of clarity.
Oh,
here.
God. Yeah. Am I correct? I mean, so Trey Turner has been here how long?
A couple months. Yeah.
Couple of months, and like, you know, now it's like, oh, let's undo it.
Well, if I could, if I had a magic wand.
Yeah, he did kind of say that.
Al, I would do it. If I could undo the contract, I would. Now, let me explain myself.
If I could turn back time,
I would. So, I didn't love the contract. I mean, we all thought the player was really good, and hopefully he still will be. I didn't love the contract to begin with, because these contracts with 11 years, 10 years, when a guy's 30 already, we know it's going to end bad. But we hope the first, what, 4, 5, 6 years really good. We're already losing year one here, Al. I'm starting to wonder if this guy's best is past him.
Well, no, his best isn't past. I'm worried that he's changed his game a little bit, mm-hmm. I think. And you got to give a guy time to adjust. He may just want to have too big of an impact early. I'm not one for launch angles and stuff, but it's obvious to me that this guy's numbers, I like this guy because he's not an analytics hero. His numbers are based on his feet, his wheels. He beats out ground balls, so it changes the entire dynamic. He doesn't have that great launch angle. But I think this year he is. I think this year, like for the little sample size I see, there's too many hard-hit pulled ground balls, and there's too many pop-up type stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he's taken his wheels out of play. I think that'll all come back in time. He's just too good a player. I mean, didn't Harper have a bit of a – I mean, you come to Philly, some guys just have a bit of a slow start.
It's an adjustment.
I mean, you really want to make a big – like, you guys weren't very good at the beginning, right? Now you're getting better. So
– Sorry, partner.
But they didn't give us an 11-year contract. I mean, that's the difference. But the other part of it is it's not just him, Al. It's the fact that they spent a big part of their budget. And we know their budget's big, right? They have a $240 million payroll. But they did spend a lot of it on him. I mean – some of it's not his fault. Like, it's not his fault that they can't pitch, but I do wonder if maybe they spent that money differently, they could pitch. Because this pitching staff stinks, Al.
Right now it does. Right. And that's the correction that I think they're going to have to make. You got a player like this. I mean, I'm all in on him. I was all in on him. I'm going to walk it back after, okay, it's Memorial Day. It's, past Memorial Day. That's still small compared to, you know, how guys can turn their season around. I mean, you couple it with the fact that he's probably trying to make up for the fact that Schwarber hasn't benefited a lick from the shift rules. Mm-hmm. you couple it with that awful, even, like, I would not waste my anger or my want to change things on him. To me, if you go down the order of things that are wrong, it starts to me with Nola. Then it's just the pitching staff, as you said. Then it's Schwarber. Then it's him. For a new guy, I mean, Schwarber's been here a bit. Then it's him. It's like, okay, he isn't earning the $1 billion like he should. Yeah, but I give him some time to go around. And as that as that gets better, he's a more effective player. Get on base, change the dynamic, do all that. And you know, play in the field. I agree with you long term, but who deals with that anymore in any sport? They just don't.
Well, they don't. I mean, it's why all these teams get out those contracts. Al, I'm curious your perspective, because you mentioned the pitching and the rest of the staff stinks, on Dombrowski. I mean, you have a certainly unique perspective, because we've all watched what he's done over a long career, and you certainly were watching more closely with what he did in Boston, won the World Series in 18. But it didn't end well there, and the Red Sox haven't been in a great place for the most part since he left. And I'd look at the offseason he had, even if we take Turner out, because this is a bad slump that no one could have anticipated. But, man, he traded out, in effect, Walker for Eflin, and that's looking like such a mistake. And he paid Walker more money.
He did. And, well, pitching's one of the – I mean, I don't know the guru that can deal with pitching as much as, you know, we look at his track record on what he's done to go out and get people. But don't forget, you took Hoskins out of the equation,
yeah,
too, and that changed a lot. And, frankly, you know, when you look at it, I know I love – everybody loves the catcher, but is he what he should be right now?
He's not.
No. So this is, you know, he when Dombrowski does things, he's like you. He doesn't pencil things in. It's in ink pen, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and if it doesn't happen, you look bad that it should happen. So and he will do things. They will get pitching. I mean, as teams fall way out of it, he'll get some pitching. But I don't lay this at the feet. Like, I just don't want to wave the magic. If I could tell you that magic wand or whatever it is you want, would it be that Nola is not what Nola should be, or Turner?
That's a good question. Like, who's more important to turn it around?
I would
Nola.
Say Turner.
Yeah.
I would say Turner.
But Nola's big, too. It's a good question.
But I think that in this situation, if you can get your hitting going, that can help you out tremendously. The pitching, you know, it's going to come around, but
I don't know. I know the hitting's see, to me, Hugh, I've watched Schwarber go through horrendous things like this, and then they come around. But they have no chance if Nola isn't the guy to stop slides and stuff. This is the last two series. When you look at it, if he holds up his end of the bargain on these last two series, you're looking at a whole different picture.
Yeah, we did discuss that more. Speaking of Schwarber. Like, he's been, I know he's going to get better, but in order to help him get better, would you move him around in the lineup? Would you move him down in the lineup?
They play that card a lot. I would have Turner, I think he'd be a more viable leadoff guy, and then get those feet going, get his wheels going a little bit. No, I'd move him around. I don't know that he minds it. I mean, it doesn't seem like he really minds it that much. Maybe he does. I mean, I know he likes the top spot or whatever to get going. But no, the manager has done things like that. Yeah, I'd move him around. I didn't agree with sitting their star player in a game that I thought was really important.
And then how about not just sitting him, but not using him down two in the ninth inning? That blew me away, because I was like, all right, maybe he's banged up, but he's played the last 2 days. I mean, obviously it was just a day off.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. I was very confused by that. Unless I got to think he asked for it. I mean, I can't imagine being, you know, him told.
I know. It was bizarre. I'm curious your thoughts on Rob Thompson, because we're getting more complaints. And I want you to play for you what he said yesterday and what you make of it. Because I do wonder, Al, if there's a little bit of, we did this last year, we could do it again. That's like too much of that in this clubhouse. Here's Topper yesterday after the game about all these NL champs recently and how they've had slow starts.
You know, I think to a man, everybody knows that, okay, the last three National League champions had the same type of start, but it doesn't happen every year. So they know what reality is, and they're grinding, and they're fighting. If that answers your question.
Yeah. Because it was a talking point, I know, for you in the spring ball,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Complacency. And I don't think that's has anything to do with it. I really don't. I just don't think we've put it all together yet. But I have full confidence that we will. Full faith in the clubhouse with the talent and the character that we have, that I truly believe that we're going to find it.
Al, what do you make of it? I mean, I'm starting to wonder if it's just too much of, we did this last year, we could do it again. Like, last year's last year.
Yeah, but I mean, they are where they are.
Right.
So he can't surrender and before 4th of July. And besides that, I mean, really, if you can't even think about our manager replacement. It would look ridiculous. It would be ridiculous. to do that 2 years, and you know, think you're going to hit magic there with what happened with after everybody was this is what they needed. Look at what happened. It would be preposterous to change manager right now. It would be every wrong message. He's not the stud pitcher that Nola's supposed to be. He's not, you know, they get a star like Turner. He doesn't turn it on quickly. I don't blame him at all. And I knew this would, I knew last year, even when he was winning, that his sort of laid back approach or lack of, he wouldn't be a good talk show host. Let's put it that way.
He would not. He'd be kind of boring to be honest.
It would be, but I mean,
not like that guy.
Yeah, it wouldn't work that way. But I mean, I think he is. It's the same manager. Yeah. In fact, I think he's pushed more buttons this year to get things going. I actually think he's been. He hasn't given him as much rope as I thought he might after what happened last year. As Hugh just mentioned, he's moved up to people up and down the lineup. He's done things like that. So I give him like virtually no blame in what's happened here. You pay a guy, those two guys on the pitching staff and a free agent like that, it's supposed to be guys that carry you.
Well, it is. Al, before we move on, let's get your thoughts on Nick Nurse. What'd you think yesterday? I was kind of impressed with Nick Nurse yesterday. I mean, we know him, and we've seen him coach, obviously, against the Sixers. He won a title. First time I really heard him, you know, talk for 20 minutes. I think they've got something here with this guy. I don't know if it's going to change anything, but I like the hire, and think Nick Nurse has the right mentality. What'd you think of Nick?
He was impressive in an intellectual way, I guess you would say. I mean, he used some terms that I think he and the general manager would have an interesting conversation at a Starbucks.
Yes,
but I don't know. I mean, this is a unique bunch of players to get. Howard went at him pretty good, eh? About Harden. I don't know that he has an answer. I know that everything he says is well thought out. He seems to have some sort of a plan, I think, but it really is a strange group to kind of implement that with. That's what I'm really interested to see how he's going to deal with Embiid. If it's going to be a push, it's going to be adversarial. If it's going to be intellectual, I don't know. I know that he's an impressive guy just in terms of interview on what he's thinking. He's almost like a Morey who talks more.
Like the coaching version of Morey.
Yeah, a little bit like that. But I mean, he's got results. I mean, you look at results that he's got. He's got some pretty darn good results coming in, and he's obviously there. I mean, I guess the question to him would be, you know, like you were hired here to win it all. Otherwise, you're going to be looked at as a failure. What do you think of that? That's basically what he's walked into here. And I think he's kind of people have the wrong idea about coaching or playing in Toronto just because it's not down here. It's pretty pressure packed, and it, as far as just expectations, the media is not wimpy. I don't think that'll be an adjustment at all for him. I think the adjustment's going to be, as opposed to what he had up there, what buttons do you push with Embiid, and who do you ask about those buttons? I mean, who do you go to? And that's where I think that's the genius that will come in on how to get that unlocked.
Yeah, I'm wondering, we'll end with this. I'm wondering how, like, what's your gut on this? Do you think, I'm not sure about Harden if he's going to stay. Let's just use Embiid. Do you think Embiid will respond well if he's pushed by Nurse, or is he going to push back? Because I think that's the big thing here.
It is, and that's the psychological thing that I guess the GM must have some, or Morey must have some inclinations one way or the other about which way to go with it, and if he met with him, what he expects. I mean, Embiid, he looks like a kind of guy that will shut down. I don't know that, but he looks like that if he's not, you know, if he doesn't get what he wants. But I do think he'd be interested in having a big say in the way the game is played. In other words, I'm gonna make you more vested into this thing in the way we play, how we do it. And that's where I think that's how I think his sales job will get across, and see what happens. But again, you're now dealing again with another team that, and the football team will be the same, the baseball team. I mean, except for the Flyers, I mean, everybody's basically expected to get to the playoffs, correct?
Say yeah. What?
Yeah, so it's like you're not going to be able to prove any except complete failure. unless you get there. And that's where you'll see if all of this works. So, you know, he's an interesting guy. I guess the message was, you know, I got the message, you're going to play it back. You can just do it again and with another voice and see if it happens. And then we can all look at Doc and say, oh, yeah, he was as bad as we thought.
Right. It feels that way. All right, let's end here because we can't not mention this before tomorrow night. Mr. Black Hockey and Al together here. What do we think? We got the Golden Knights. We got the Panthers.
You know I'm rolling with the Panthers.
I know. Of course you are. I mean, you've been there the whole time. What do you think, Al?
Hugh is rolling with Bobrovsky. He's rolling with the goaltender. I don't know. Vegas just is too good. Eichel's playing really well. Bobrovsky's he's going to have to steal this one. So I got to go against Hugh in this. But the last time I went against Hugh,
big mistake.
Florida ends up.
I mean, you realize who you're talking about. This is Mr. Black Hockey.
He's just Mr. Hockey. I mean, he's just Mr. Hockey. No, I've got to go with Vegas in this. And I look at that. I wonder if what's happening in Vegas isn't going to cause more people to move there. Like I never thought that this would happen. But you look at it. Albany football's there. Basketball's going to go there. Baseball's headed there.
Yep.
Hockey. If you've been out there since that team's been there, it's unbelievable. There's gold. There's night stuff
everywhere.
Third, it's unbelievable.
I've seen all the people that are actually going to night games. This like celebrities.
It's crazy.
Bryce Harper, obviously he's from out there. Yeah,
really?
He loves them. Yeah.
But I mean, I never knew there was that kind of. Because every time we go to Vegas, you know where we go to the casinos to play golf. That's it. But I actually think this is gonna. I hope they have enough water for all the people gonna move out there.
It's a hockey town.
It is. It's a sports town. And this was these sports leagues were so terrified of gambling. Once they jumped in, man, they didn't go feet first. They went feet, hands, head, everything, all in.
Yeah, they are. They're in the deep end, too.
What a market that's turned into. It is an absolute monster. And I'm like, you know, people are going to start moving there, realize it's not just gambling and whatever. It's like there's actual. This actual, like, suburbs to go out and live in, and you see them at the games. It's wild.
Yeah, it is. Al, we appreciate this week's impromptu, Al. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll be watching this hockey this weekend. Thank you, Al.
Have a good one, guys.
Have a good one, Al.
I got to check the rocks in my head here that Al said I had. Yeah, I guess it's official. Gordie Howe is no longer Mr. Hockey. Hugh Douglas is Mr. Hockey. Move over Gordie Howe.
I mean, it all depends on what happens at this last series, man, because people are starting to text me a lot about those.
I'll tell you, nothing says hockey to me like 94 degrees outside, turning on the Golden Knights.
Like the Sun Belt? Two Sun Belt teams.
Yeah, you got one team in South Florida and one team in the desert.
That's
that is hockey.
Who else would have predicted that but Hugh Douglas? I don't know what Al's thinking, going against Mr. Black Hockey after that. Like, think about this. He's talking about the Golden Knights are going to be tough. They rolled through the Boston Bruins, who were supposed to be the best team in NHL history after being down 3-1. They forgot to lose a game in that series after that one. Swept the Maple Leafs or lost one there. I think they swept the Maple Leafs and then just lost. No, they swept the Hurricanes. They lost one against the Maple Leafs, swept the Hurricanes. The Golden Knights are light work at that point.
Yeah, well, they might be. And if it is, what is it, 32-1 you had it at?
I had it at 32-1.
Somebody's going to make some money.
It's begging me to cash out at 7-1. It's begging me.
I wonder how quickly. Do you have a number you would cash out at?
32-1.
Oh, you're all the way in.
I'm all in.
You're
now.
Riding or dying with it. I just wonder if they win tonight, like, do they give you, like, double? Like, or, like, you know, like,
you know what?
Half
if,
the amount.
If like, they gave me, like, 25. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting close to where it's like marginal,
$20
bucks or something like that. Then I'd probably do it.
Yeah, it's obviously
but
an awesome
for the
play.
Bit, the commitment to, you know, like we're doing this. I have it out. I have to ride it all the
way. And forget Gordie Howe. You have Mr. Hockey.
That's correct.
On your
I'll
side.
Tell you what though, that with those eyes, I don't know if I look at that payout and I might just go ahead and take the payout.
Yeah. When we get
let
you,
it ride,
when
right?
we get you his account set up, he's gonna take that payout.
You know, I'm scared, money.
Yeah.
My money's always scared.
No one join me on June Schwarber. It's not going well.
He's got good numbers off of Josiah Gray tonight. Right. Sometimes when I do parlays during the NFL season, if I got like three of the first three legs, I just take the payout.
That's gonna be me. Hey, take the money while you can.
Yeah, just grab it and run.
Especially if it's enough money for me to get me a pair of shoes, I'm gonna do that.
Well, I mean, this would be a pair of shoes for sure. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Dan in Winfield. Is up. What's up, Dan?
I was a little worried. Now you put Al there in front of me, and I was
well, it was impromptu, Al. Yeah, Al just bumps
oh,
in. We can't stop it.
Good Lord! Now, are you sure you don't have what's his face to call in? What's this guy's name?
Herb.
Come on, Herb.
Yeah, we talked to Herb already.
Herb already called in.
You got to put him in front of me again there?
Julio and
We didn't see – listen, man, we've had – but first of all, happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday.
And we don't need to, again, beat this drum where the Phillies stink. And my team, you know, the Mets, I'm a Met guy. They're not even playing well, and they mopped the floor with the Phillies playing half-heartedly.
Yeah, I'm getting tired. I'm getting tired of these Phillies Mets games, Dan. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting tired of this.
You're getting tired of it. They're beating them like a drum.
I'm aware. I mean,
the second adjective was unnecessary.
We all know it, Dan.
Very necessary, you. But I was a little surprised. If I was a betting guy, I would have lost my underwear because the Braves lost back-to-back to Oakland.
The A's. I know.
I mean, there had to be a lot of guys that took a bath on those two games.
I'm sure. I mean, the A's have won like 9 games in the first 2 months, and they beat the Braves twice.
Insane. But, I mean, honestly, like the Phillies, with Trey Turner, much like all these guys that signed these big contracts, and I can go back 30 years, a lot of them in that first year don't perform well. They adjust. And then, you know, I think he'll be fine. It could take a year, but I think ultimately he's a very good ball player and he's going to produce.
Well, we all hope you're right.
That's the thing. Nobody wants to wait the year, though.
No.
But sometimes, Dan,
the guys that get those contracts at 30, they are bad contracts. I mean, the Albert Pujols Angels contract was bad.
You said it best. None of these guys are worth the money. They're all overpaid. They're paid for what they did in the past. None of these guys. Lindor, his first year, was awful.
He was. I mean, really, the only ones that work out, and Soto will be this next year. Harper was this. Machado, if they're 25 or 26, A-Rod was this, then it's worth it. But if you get him at 30, it's not going to work.
Yeah, but Soto, I tell you, Soto may have made a big mistake. He's not really lived up to...
Oh, I disagree. His OPS is like top 10 in baseball. He'll get his money.
Watch the game. I mean, honestly, like guys like that, looking to walk as a primary thing, I don't look at. Like, you know, look at Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso doesn't... He's settled.
Yeah, he's a power hitter. But I mean, they're different. Right, and Dan, he's... Yeah, he's different. We appreciate Dan. I mean, I don't care about Pete Alonso. Like, I can't do Pete Alonso talk.
Yeah, not a big polar bear guy.
I mean, I just... Like, he's a good player, obviously. He's a home run hitter. Yeah. Like, Juan Soto's a better player. But the bottom line is this.
I'm glad he got out ahead of this Juan Soto smear campaign that's been starting to brew since his average wasn't that great.
The guy's amazing.
This season, but he's been excellent. Yeah.
The guy last month, he has like a 550 on base percentage. I mean, like, Juan Soto's great. I mean, like, obviously he's great. If you sign a player when they're young, like Harper, like Machado, like A-Rod back in the day, like Soto will be, they're usually worth the money. This Turner thing, I would undo it if I could. Hugh would not. 215-592-9494. Would you undo the Trey Turner contract? Your takeaways on Nick Nurse. And if you want to talk to, before the finals, the Stanley Cup final starts tomorrow, you want to talk to Mr. Hockey. He's here.
Right here.
There it is. We got to get you a Panthers jersey.
Yeah, I do. You know what? Yeah, I need to fix. Do I have one? I don't know. I went through a Micah Parsons phase. I don't know if I got one of those.
Excuse me?
You know, the
Florida
Panthers? Well, I know what you're talking about, man.
No, yeah, the Micah Parsons fan.
Trying to check you a little bit.
I know I have a Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, well, they were cool for a little while.
Yeah, they were cool for a little while. But it was just the Lightning. Yeah. I mean, but I admitted it. I mean, Micah's running around talking about, but I'm with you guys now.
Yeah, well, he's a fraud.
Very fraud.
Is it okay for Hugh to? I mean, I think it's okay for Hugh to get a Panthers jersey if he called. At this point, I'm expecting them almost to call you down. I don't know if they ring a bell or what they do to start the game. Drop the puck. By the way, you ever see Micah Parsons try to drop the puck? Do you remember that video?
Oh, he did that?
No.
He's a hockey fan.
You guys go search Micah Parsons. I think it was the Reading. Reading has a hockey team. Yeah. Reading, whatever they're called.
Yes.
Micah Parsons dropping the puck in the hockey game.
Didn't go well?
Go well. He didn't understand what he was supposed to do. Oh, it was like a year ago. All right, it's a mess. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in right here. And before we get back, I forgot to mention this. There's someone out there that's showing pity to the Sixers, which this might be the saddest pity party we've ever had.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas Show, Julio. 215-592-9494. It's the midday show. And of course, you guys with us here as we discuss Trey Turner. We'll give you the update on the Twitter poll, see where people land on this one. If you could undo the Trey Turner contract right now, no penalty, it just disappears. And the Phillies have that money back to spend in the future on a different way and a different players, obviously. Would you do it? I would. Hugh would not. And obviously impressions here of Nick Nurse. We'll get to the NBA player that's showing pity on the Sixers. And it's just, it's rough to hear it. We'll get to that. But right now, back to you guys. Rob and Delco. Hey, Rob.
Rob.
What's up, Joe? What's up, Hugh?
Hey,
what's
Rob.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Listen, I want to just queue up Sox. I think if you ever go to a Union game, they'll announce like the opposing player and they'll be like, Sox. I think they do it at the Flyers game too, don't they? When they announce like the opposing player.
They do. Flyers and Sixers games, they do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, from now on, when I go Trey Turner, they just play Sox. Kyle Schwarber, Sox. Cassianis, Sox. Aaron Nola, Sox. You know what, Joe? These guys like Self and Al that were just on, I don't want to wait a year. I'm sorry, Joe. These guys that get this much money comes this much responsibility. I'm sorry, Joe.
Well, I think it's fair. And this whole gap year thing, we all can't be Hugh down in Jacksonville. We got to perform now.
Pew, pew, call the
exactly. I'm sick of that. Joe, I went through it yesterday, the amount of championships all sports teams had. If you go to the Sixers, what, one since 1983? I mean, 83, 84 season, we're going on 40 years.
Yeah, it's not a long exercise. I probably didn't take it that long.
I was born in 73, so the Flyers were like, what, 73, 74, 74, 75, something like that. You know what I mean? So you're going almost 50 years for them. I'm sick of it. These people in Philadelphia, us Philadelphians, are sick of it. I don't have patience anymore. I just don't. So these guys like that stiff Trey Turner, he might be a great family man. He might be a great guy, but you know what? I don't care. Give me the hoodlum that produces. I'm sick of it anymore. I just don't care.
Well, and the team needs him. It's like, you know, and it's you know, we brought up the comparison, you know, because Bryce Harper had a slower start. But number one, it was better than this Turner start. Number two, he was younger, so you had a good feeling like he was you know, he had a lot of good years left. He was going to be fine. But the third thing is, Rob, the Phillies were winning. They did not have a losing record, you know, the first couple months of Bryce Harper, despite him struggling. This team stinks, and Turner is a big part of why.
And two quick things. I disagree with Al 100%. I'd get rid of the manager right now. I'm just ready to blow it. Ooh. It's just to do it right now. Because, you know, when the guy said he doesn't have any more answers, you know what that tells me? He doesn't have any more answers.
Well, he doesn't. But I wouldn't. And, Rob, we appreciate it. I would not get rid of Topper. You and I have been on this together. I don't think he's done a great job. I think a lot of this, what is he supposed to do? Like, he puts Trey Turner in the lineup every day, or Schwarber, whoever, right?
Yeah.
And Aaron Nola is going to pitch every fifth day. If they stink, like, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, you know what the funny thing about it, like, we've asked a lot of people about this, probably smarter men than Topper, and everybody to a man can't figure out what's going on with this team right now. So I don't think it's a him problem. I just think that for whatever reason, this team has – just gotten off to a slow start, and nobody can figure it out.
Well, there's a reason that his title is manager and not coach, right? Like, his job isn't to teach Trey Turner how to hit a baseball. His job isn't to teach Aaron Nola how to how to throw it. I mean, he's simply supposed to be managing the lineup, managing the bullpen and stuff, and you could have your gripes with that, but the issues run a little bit deeper than little day-to-day management issues.
Yeah, and the difference for me from last year was, I think two significant things happened with Girardi. That's why I wanted him out. One, I thought he was managing them into losses with his bullpen management. I just thought it was egregious. I don't feel that with Topper. And the second thing is, I just thought the team was done playing for him. I don't feel like they're playing like crap right now, but I don't think they're playing like crap because they're just done with Rob Thompson.
They just need a fire lit underneath them or something. I don't know.
Maybe they should turn on WIP in the clubhouse. If that doesn't light a fire, I don't know what does.
You hear people talking bad about him?
Yeah, I mean,
that usually helps.
Trey walks in, we're undoing his contract, we're taking it. Taking away his money.
Well, why do these guys need to see a man lose his job for them to start, like, to understand the urgency?
I don't know.
I mean, when Girardi got fired last year, Castellanos is like, oh, well, you see a man lose his job. That really, it's like, well, like,
you,
okay,
Nick,
dude.
You got him fired, buddy.
Yeah, like, come on, man. It's time for you to pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, this group helped get a manager fired last year. And Dombrowski addressed this a couple weeks ago. He said, we're not going to be making a manager change. I think there's very little chance, almost zero, they would actually do it.
They're not going to do that.
Yeah, the manager.
You're talking about the money ramifications, all that stuff. You're not going to do that. You're not going to be that drastic. But I'm pretty sure there are people in an organization that are like, what was a WTH?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Like,
now,
seriously.
I do think if the Phillies had a really bad year, I don't think it's a lock. He's the manager next year.
He comes
year.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, but
it all depends on how bad does it have to get in order for that to be the case.
Well, and it depends on what the organization deems to really be the reason. Like, if they get banged up and just riddled with injuries all season, they might not view that as a Topper issue, mm-hmm. right? Like, Dombrowski could give him a pass and say, Rhys Hoskins got hurt, Alec Bohm's on the IL, all these guys floating, going back and forth off the IL. Mm-hmm. That could be viewed as a non-management issue.
Yeah. Also, Dave Dombrowski could step up and say, it's my fault. Like, hey, I made a lot of mistakes, which he has. I mean,
sure has.
Taijuan Walker was Dave Dombrowski's idea. Not mine, not yours. It was his.
Is pitching depth a sort of a mark of Dave Dombrowski-led mm-hmm. organizations?
Yeah.
Like, not just the Phillies, but, the Tigers,
top-heavy.
The Red Sox. Yeah.
He's always top-heavy. And then, like, when it's right, like last year, it worked. The 2018 Red Sox,
yep.
It worked. And then when that starts to fall apart, it goes bad. Like, the mark of Dombrowski teams is when they go bad, they go bad.
Right. Yep.
And that, hopefully, we're not in that already.
I mean, peak?
I kind of accepted that when they hired him. They'd have a run,
yep.
They'd make the playoffs with him, but the end, when he left, it'd be bad.
Yes.
I hope we're not there.
We need that run to still be, we need another year or two of that run,
yes.
Before we deal with all that other stuff.
Yeah, otherwise we're in trouble here. Matt's in Reading. What's up, Matt?
Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. Thanks for taking the call. Just got a couple things. Trey Turner, he's too good. He's too good. We got to keep him. The team has a lot of other issues. You guys have been talking about it, but why aren't we talking about Kevin Long? All right, he's the highest paid hitting coach in the league.
He's come up a little bit.
His name has come up
the last couple days on our show.
Came up yesterday, as a matter of
fact. And losing Reese was big. The team has a lot of issues. But I really think, Kevin Long got to earn that money, make the little tweaks, have the conversations with Trey, get him back on track. But he's too good a player for this to go on much longer. But it is a lot of money that we're paying him. And when you get that kind of dough, you got to have, immediate results. So,
well, with the team, Matt, is top heavy. So they need their stars to play like stars for this to work. And so far this season, I mean, Trey has it, right? Bryce has, but he's only been, here for almost a month now. It's not quite a month. I mean, it's just they need Trey Turner to be excellent. Otherwise, they're not going to win enough games.
No, I get it. But I think it also you need to, manage expectations. Last year, the team was just on fire. I mean, it was crazy. It was, Topper was a feel-good story. Now that he's, the actual manager of the team, you got a lot of people talking about Topper. Should he go? Should he stay? That's it was, again, a feel-good story from last year. And I don't know, man. I think he could be in over his head, in terms of, the long-term commitment to him.
He could be. It's not out of the question that maybe he's not as long-term of a guy as we thought. What do you think about Nick Nurse? What did you think of yesterday, Matt?
All right. So I got a take on this, right?
Okay.
Nick Nurse, I love how he coaches. He's a basketball coach. But when you think about the guy who he's replacing, right, Doc, who was, essentially campaigning for Joel to get the MVP. That seemed to be the focus of the team. Let's just get Joel his MVP, all right? and you got him coming into a locker room that essentially has some quitters on it. We saw game six. We saw game seven. They quit. Game seven, you quit. When you're a quitter, you're always a quitter. Mm. All right? I mean, do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I think you're right.
And so then you take this into consideration, right? Nick Nurse, he coached the Raptors. The Raptors that had Joel sobbing after Kawhi hit the shot, right? Mm-hmm. Sobbing like my 8-year-old son when the Chiefs kicked that field goal to win the Super Bowl. All right, it was insane. And then on top of that, he was also the coach of the team when Pascal Siakam broke Embiid's face. Do you think Embiid is going to forget these things and all of a sudden let bygones be bygones? This is going to be a disaster.
So I think it could end up that way. But, Matt, I actually think this could end up as the best thing for the franchise. Like, I think it goes one of two ways. Joel buys in. They work together. Joel improves and kind of those edge, you know, rough around the edges parts, he gets better. Or it's what you say, Matt, and Joel basically taps out in a year and the Sixers realize, you know, he's not long for this place.
Well, but Joel has shown us who he is.
I know.
And then on top of it, I mean, they're professional athletes, so you'd want to display some level of professionalism. Quitting in Game 7 is not displaying professionalism. Flying to Las Vegas during the playoffs with Harden is not displaying professionalism. Nick Nurse is a professional head coach in the NBA who expects his professional athletes to behave that way. Those Raptor teams, those guys were bought in.
Mm-hmm.
The Frank VanVleet, all right? Like, those are the guys that really, they excelled under the tutelage of a Nick Nurse. Who's going to excel on the Sixers under Nick Nurse?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, soon we will. Matt, we appreciate it. Hugh, I just keep getting the feeling, listening to Nurse, that he's not going to bow down to these guys.
No, he can't. He can't because, like, the way that you've done things, this is a truism when any coach comes in and takes over a team of, like, misfits. He's not beholden to any of y'all.
Nope.
And however you did it the last time or the last way, it obviously didn't work because if it did, I wouldn't be here.
I hope he uses that kind of mentality with
but
these
you
guys.
Have to use that mentality. And the way, no, regardless, like, okay, Joel, you won MVP. That's great as an individual accolade. That's not what we're into. We're trying to win championships. He basically said that. He basically said that when he got here. He's trying to win a championship. And I think that with that being said, if you're not trying to buy into that, then you won't be here.
I would love if he sat down, Joel, and showed him the film of his Raptors teams taking Joel apart on offense. Like this is what we're doing to you. This is what the Celtics do to you. Like, either you change this or it's going to keep happening.
And be able to handle it?
I don't know. I think
that's the question. If you want to get better, you have no choice. Mm. You sometimes you got to have that tough love, man. And if you want to get better, then that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, I just didn't expect this yesterday. I walked away from that press conference feeling like Nick Nurse and Daryl Morey are going to be here. And we're going to find out if the other guys are going to be here.
I had originally thought, you know, this whole thing was centered around James Harden. James Harden was the sun in the solar system here. It looks like I don't know if I believe that to be the case anymore. I don't even know if I believe that Joel Embiid is supposed to be that same figure. It really seems to me like they're going in a little bit of a different direction there with the Nurse thing.
Yeah, it might be. We'll see who's here. But Nick Nurse is going to coach it, and Daryl Morey is going to pick the players. Let's talk to PJ in the Poconos. What's up, PJ?
Oh, not too much. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, PJ.
What's going on, man?
I'll tell you what, watching the Sixers get swept by the Mets this weekend was the worst thing I've ever seen. That was a disgrace.
The Sixers got swept by who this weekend?
By the Mets.
Oh, the Phillies, you mean?
No. Oh, you call them the Phillies? They played like that. No, that was the Sixers.
I closed
my eyes and listened to the game play. I thought it was the Sixers out there.
Well, it was just as bad and just as frustrating. Well, maybe not as frustrating. It's not the playoffs. But I hear you, PJ. They had the similar vibes.
What my question is now, I wouldn't get rid of Trey Turner's contract if I could. I just wouldn't. He's too good. They had this year with all the rule changes, and yes, I get it. We're making excuses, but I think we need to give him a little time. He is too good. Like the other caller said, he's too good. At what point do we give Rob Thompson, for being a nice guy, he's got to stop this? He's got to get some Larry Bowe in him.
But what's that going to do?
Well, I mean, it might get a fire in some of the guys. I mean, you got to piss them off. I mean, because right now they have no fire in them. So, I mean, yes, he shook up the lineup a little bit. I would shake it up a bunch. I mean, Ben, like you put Nola, bench him a game. sit him down and piss him off.
Well, who's going to pitch though? Like they can't roll out five starters as it is. They're going to skip a Nola start,
right? Well, I mean, bring up one of your minor leaguers instead of trading them all away and picking up veteran guys that you're getting at the end of their careers.
Yeah, well, I mean, they could do any of this stuff. And PJ, we appreciate the phone call. I think we're grasping at straws if we just want to bench guys to light a fire under them. I mean, guys, they might not be good enough. I mean, that also might be part of this view. The team might not be as good as we thought it was. And, like, is not starting Aaron Nola next week, I guess his next starts next week against the Tigers, is that going to teach him a lesson?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. And this is the thing. We're talking about, we're operating from a position of we don't know what's being said in that locker room.
We don't.
And as far as trying to light a fire, he's probably trying to light a fire on these guys. It's just, for whatever reason, it's not working.
This is something that we do this with managers all the time. It's when guys aren't hitting. Why won't he move the lineup around? Why won't he move guys up? Why won't he move guys down? And then when he is moving the lineup, he's moving it too much. You know, guys need to know where they're hitting every day. It's
that's
like
how it always is.
Yeah,
as,
man.
As
it's like
fan, that's what we do.
Yeah, you're just it's a catch 22. You're doing whatever it is. You're doing the wrong thing. Doesn't that suggest to you that maybe guys just need to play up to their potential?
Yeah, they do. Also, and I love Larry Bowa. Love when we have him on. He's awesome. He's a Phillies lifer. Sometimes we like that. Like we want the manager to have a Larry Bowa in them, right? Like we did this with Gabe. We did it like. Larry Bowa was a manager for 6 years in the majors. His team's never won 90 games. Like right. You have to have players.
Yeah, and you also have to have your finger on the pulse of the psyche of the players. And there was a reason why Bill Parcells did not have the success that he had in New York anywhere else. There's a reason why. It's because that coaching style that he had, it didn't fly. The fact that Coach Sirianni has put his finger on the pulse and knows how to get the absolute best out of these teams. One of the things that jumped out to me yesterday at practice was how easy the practice was. And how people were talking about how this formula was the formula that put them in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. And he's following that formula. The fact that he's going out doing team building activities. And the fact that Howie Roseman is a part of all of that and he's not standoffish.
100%, man.
Yeah, that to me is very, very interesting how the way that they do things now as opposed to the way that they used to do things.
Yeah.
Because you would never see Joe Banner. Joe Banner didn't interact with the players like that. He did not fool. They did not have outings that they would go to and try to build team building activities and things like that. I mean, I think that's what separates them from everybody else is because they have all of that.
It's well, and they all use that word collaborative. It's all team effort. And I think when Sirianni first got here, he like brought all the veterans in and asked them what they wanted to do with these OTAs. Because I think by rule, you could have 10 of them.
Yeah.
And I think the Eagles cut it down to only 6 this year. And like you were there yesterday. What is it, an hour? They don't do much.
Like I got there about what, 12:30? And they were talking about, we're not going to be out here too much longer. And not only that, like the way – I don't know if I'm giving away too much, but the way that they interact with everybody, like it's almost like a college feel when you look at the way that they're doing things.
It's like a program.
And it was one thing that jumped out to me is how they're trying to develop younger players. They're giving them opportunities to come out and contribute in some way, shape, or form. So I mean, it's big, man. It's just not about the starters. It's about everybody. It's all inclusive. It's all inclusive.
I don't need Thompson to do the Larry Bowa thing and bite somebody's head off. But I do wonder if there's some like, who is in there in that locker room?
There needs to be a sense of urgency.
Well, manager or player who's saying like, hey guys, you do realize that like we're gonna miss the playoffs if we do this, right?
Or somebody's gonna get fired.
I think it's Schwarber, but I wonder if it's difficult for him to talk up right now when he's going 0 for 4.
When he's hitting 150 or 160.
I mean, Schwarber's the. And I'm not trying to. I'll just say it this way. I think Schwarber's the one of the only true leaders they have in there.
Well, I
just think that Bryce is a great player. I don't know if he's a natural.
Not a speak
leader.
Up leader. No. He's a lead by example guy.
Right.
He goes out there and puts up great numbers, and you're like, man, I need to step my game up so I'm playing like him. He's not going to be the Hoskins, which that's where he comes into play.
Yep.
And the Schwarber of a guy who's going to stand up in front of the room and say, guys, like it's getting late early.
I know. I mean, the only things Topper could do, I think, are just strategical things he could change. Like, could he sit Schwarber against lefties right now? He could. I mean, it's not, and it wouldn't feel like a benching. He just wouldn't play every single day. He could also change the line. Like, he could totally change the lineup. I mean, their best three hitters this year have been Marsh, Castellanos and Harper. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, maybe you just put those guys 1, 2, 3 and just hope you stack hits together. Yep. I don't know. I mean, it just might be time to get drastic here. And I don't even care who it's 5, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like, just put the top three hitters you have together. I mean, it's a possibility. All right, before we hand it over to Mark Cerise, we wanted to play this for you because there's nothing like pity from someone that we used to pity. So here's some Sixers pity for you. Markel Fultz. Listen to what he had to say about the Sixers recently.
I don't know. It was a weird situation, you know. And like, again, I understand that it's a business, and I understand now like the business and in and outs of everything. So like, again, I was just worried about. I was thankful to be able to be moved to somewhere where I had a second chance and an opportunity to grow. And you know they wanted to win. I wish I had a chance to help them, because I really feel like I could have helped them, you know, win if they were patient and, you know, let me get healthy. But at the same time, I'm thankful for everything that they did for me, and everything worked out good.
So Markel wishes he was here to help. You know, of all the bad things happened to the Sixers over the past 7 or 8 years, I don't have any, like, annoyance towards Markel.
No.
It's like, I don't have any energy for it. It was a bust. It didn't work. He mysteriously forgot how to shoot.
It's because people have set that bar way too high, like, for Ben Simmons. It's almost like Markel Fultz doesn't even compare.
No.
Just because those guys exist. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, the frustration that you feel from those guys. It's almost like you don't even have the energy for Markel Fultz.
That's a good way to put it. I don't have the energy.
Because you spent it all on Ben Simmons.
Celebrate him. All the stuff he does well.
I mean, he forgot how to shoot. Like, this was a number one overall pick who's a shooter in college, got here, and literally forgot how to shoot.
You know what my memory of Ben Simmons is when I think they were playing LSU. Where he's from.
He was
from
LSU.
They're playing A&M. And he knew that he was about to get drafted, and he was on the court absolutely chilling. He was not, and the announcer was like, yeah, Ben Simmons, you know, he's going to be probably the first overall pick. And Ben was just out there like, yeah, you know, I'm not playing this tournament.
I mean, Hugh, what if you got drafted and then all of a sudden you just forgot how to rush the pass?
Or tackle.
Which way do I run?
I couldn't do that. I mean, from where I came from and how people were looking at me, I wasn't going to let that happen.
I mean, The Sixers actually had 2 number one overall picks that didn't shoot the basketball when they were here. I mean, that's... It almost sounds like it's made up. Like, yeah. It's the first thing you do. And I know I'm saying this as someone who has the worst shot ever in the Wells Fargo Center. But, like, as a kid, you pick up a ball and you shoot it.
Hey, stand on that, though, Joe. You know where you are.
Well, Joe, you didn't get drafted number one overall.
I did.
My professional organization.
But even as a kid, it's the first thing you do, right? You shoot. Like, it's just –
Try.
Shoot or shoot, man.
They do. And Markel now pities the Sixers, which is just
– I could have helped. How could you have helped?
Save us.
Playing defense?
He has turned into an okay NBA player, I will say. Like, he's serving. He come off the bench and play for you.
At this point, I'll take anyone we
can get. I can't imagine being drafted in the NBA and forgetting my fundamentals or being I don't even know what to say.
Well, it sounds
what
like happens? A sick joke. I mean, yeah. like
you forget your fundamentals, or you just say, you know what, I'm not going to shoot in this situation. The fact that Ben Simmons chose the playoffs to just not shoot and was passing it against the Hawks, I was like, wow, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's one of the most just – I've never seen a city collectively at once give up on a single player like that. Like, when he didn't dunk, it was all over. All right, fun show today.
Always.
Hugh, fun show. We got a weekend here. We'll be back on Monday. And, of course, we have Marks and Reese next, live from Chickies at Beach.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.